Preparing to delve in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Delve. My name is Nathan, and on this episode, Alex and I get some good political advice from Matt Kwok as we continue talking about his game Primary, now on Kickstarter. And fear not, we came up with plenty of stupid game ideas along the way. Enjoy. So, Matt, you had mentioned that this is going to be, like, self-published.
Yeah, I think it's just kind of been, ever since I really learned about Kickstarter and the whole community, it's kind of been a bucket list idea of mine that I kind of came up with the design of the game. I want to try my hand at just doing the whole thing. You know, I think the business aspect of it also intrigues me. You know, I'm sure I'm going to get in a little bit over my head and have to, you know, lean on some others and learn from their experiences. But, you know, I've tried to read all the blogs and all the Kickstarter advice posts and listen to podcasts. So it's been an awesome learning opportunity. And I think the excitement of a self-published game on Kickstarter and all the learning from it is something that really intrigues me.
Yeah, it's going to be a roller coaster ride for you. I only know that from talking to so many people that have done it. But at the same time, I feel like they really did get a lot out of it. Alex, was that your impression?
Oh, yeah. You learn a whole lot doing it, and it prepares you for the next time you do it. And the next time after that, because usually you don't one and done.
This is true. This is true.
And even as you said at the beginning, you've made some other stuff, but they weren't good or you didn't feel like they were good enough. We had JT Smith on, who the first game he ever made was Dead Space. I believe
Dead
it was
Earth.
Dead Space?
Dead Earth.
Dead Earth. Thank you. Dead Space is a game. A real game. A good game, apparently, by all accounts. Dead Earth. Which is apparently one of the worst rated RPGs that there is.
I need to play it one day.
You can apparently die during character generations. So.
Yes, you can.
Extreme.
Brutal. I love it.
But even he said, you know, just keep doing it. And you like, he's like, you're going to make shitty games. That's inevitable. You're going to make at least one shitty game.
Oh, yeah. Check it off the list.
In there. Yep. Make shitty game, move on, make better.
May I ask what the quote-unquote shitty games were that you had started with?
So I had a game that was kind of a hiking, camping theme where a popular or a common thing to do is it's called a through hike. So people will go on these week-long, month-long, year-long hikes, thousands of miles potentially. And I haven't done one myself, but it's always something that intrigued me. So I wanted to do something that kind of took that premise, and it was terrible. I put a few friends, close friends, through the very early playtesting and, you know, four-hour games, just not fun. You know, I was still learning what it means to playtest, so, you know, in hindsight, I should have stopped it after 10 minutes, but they stuck it out. And they were very supportive, so I'm thankful for them. But I learned a lot through the failure of some of those not so great designs.
I mean, that kind of reminds me a little bit of like the first 5 minutes of Firewatch, where he's just like hiking into the woods to start the game. There's that sense of like trying to get to the actual game, but the hike's not particularly exciting. A lot of it is just text you're reading, so maybe that was also problematic. I'm not sure.
Sounds similar. Yeah, not very exciting, not terribly fun.
Yeah. Now, if there was like a murder mystery after that, though, that would be pretty great.
Ooh, I like the idea.
Because that's kind of what happened in Firewatch. Anyway, so that was really the first thing that you tried, just didn't work out so well.
Pretty much.
But now, what did you learn from that experience that you could really translate over into what is now the Primary?
Yeah, I think that game ended up trying to be too close to a simulation. And there's too many details, too many minute things that you had to be concerned with that just weren't very fun. So I think the abstraction of a concept became more important to me, or I realized, you know, you don't have to make it so real or so close to what actually occurs. I also think it was hard for me, like the idea of going on one of these through hikes, you're doing it to like witness the beauty of nature and kind of have this experience in the outdoors. And that's not really what I translated into the game.
Right.
It was more like the pain and the planning of having to choose when to fill up your rations and how far do I want to hike today. And it was a very grueling experience without a lot of rewarding aspects of the game. So there just wasn't enough fun in it.
I took a long walk.
Yeah, and it was a long, painful walk, and I was hurting at the end and starving, and yeah, not fun.
You not just in the game, but like as a designer, it really hurt. And you,
yes, that too.
You know, sometimes that tells you that you're doing something right, though. Like the most beneficial things that we do, like the most worthwhile things, are usually things that hurt a little bit.
That's true. I think you can definitely learn probably more from a failure than from something that succeeds.
And it gets you really pumped for success, too. Alex, did you ever experience that?
Which part? All of it?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Oh, you're getting good at this.
What?
Reading my thoughts.
Oh, I don't like thinking about them, because again, you're Freddy Krueger.
Well,
and you invade dreams.
It's I invade your dreams and you invade mine. You know, it's a symbiotic relationship.
No, I stay out of your dreams. They scare me.
You and me both.
I know you dream of electric sheep, Nathan.
Yeah, they short-circuited a long time ago. That would be a fun game. Counting electric sheep and they all malfunction. And then you have to fix your electric sheep so that you can continue counting them. Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be something. Why don't you design that, Nathan? You've learned a lot on the show.
Yeah, exactly.
You can make that instead of lightscapades.
I can make them both. I'll combine the two concepts. How about that?
Please don't take our advice, anybody.
If you come on the show, do not take anything we say to heart. Like, for instance, Matt, I did not seriously say that you should like put hot wings and barbecue ribs as a thematic part of the primary. You don't need it. And don't do it.
You mean I can't use it as like a Kickstarter stretch goal expansion?
You know,
hot wings and ice cream.
It's a fundraiser. It's a party fundraiser.
Oh, that's good though. Oh, damn it! You could raise so much money. $1,000 ice cream social. Ah, you could get so many rich people who like ice cream.
I think you're onto something,
man. Why does my ideas have to be stupid but good? So, after the process of doing the design and deciding to self-publish, is this a process that you'd consider doing again?
I think so. Obviously, I've got a little bit left to go, and we'll see how well or not that fares. But I definitely think after your first game and your first publish, you'll start to see that it gets easier and easier, potentially. Doing things for the first time, I think you're just learning everything. Where, you know, the second time you do it, you've got an experience to build off of, and you have relationships built, and you can use the same people to help playtest your game. So I think the next one would hopefully be a little bit easier and that much more enjoyable.
Going into the crowdfunding process, what are you most interested in learning about that?
I guess first and foremost, just if people are interested in the game.
Yeah.
You know, we've done a lot of play tests. We've had very positive feedback. We've sent stuff out to reviewers. They're all, they all enjoy the game, but you know, there's always that moment of truth once it's out there in the Kickstarter community and people really get to see, you know, do I want to spend some hard-earned money on this game? Does it look cool? Does it look fun? So I think that'll be, you know, something I'm, you know, nervous but excited to see. I think I don't fully understand yet. Everyone says, you know, it's going to be a crazy month. There's going to be so much going on. So I'm trying to prep myself mentally, but I still think I have no idea what that's going to be like.
Yeah, it's so hard when you've, like, created a thing and it's really like a reflection of you, And then you have to take it out and say, does anyone respond to that? But I think that they usually do. It's just you're worried that they won't.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely nerve-wracking. And, you know, I hear all the advice where, you know, distance yourself. You can't put your self-worth in, you know, something that you've created. But it's hard. Easier said than done.
Have you gotten a chance to sort of get a primer from some more seasoned game designers on what to expect?
Yeah, there's actually quite a few in the Madison area. I was very pleasantly surprised. So people like Keith from Thunderworks Games and Kirk from Peacekeeper Games, they've both done a few Kickstarters and a few very successful ones at that. And they've been super helpful kind of mentoring me. You know, I'm always picking their brain about getting advice and does my page look good, and even just designing and developing the game, they've been involved in that too. So I've been very fortunate to have some people to help me along the way.
Now, usually when people think about Kickstarter, one of the things that initially comes up is, are you going to have stretch goals?
Right. I understand stretch goals. I know that it's important to kind of keep people engaged and have something excited to look forward to. But I also kind of wanted to make sure that this game, you know, was the best product it could be and provide the best experience for people. So I kind of struggled with those kind of two opposite ends of the spectrum. In the end, we're doing stretch goals with kind of a small twist. I know some other campaigns out there have done some achievement systems where you have both goals based on funding and social media. So what I kind of wanted to do was to have these points that you could unlock. So once it reaches certain funding goals or certain people become fans on BGG, that you unlock these points. And then once you have these points unlocked, you can vote, you know, in the spirit of the primary and the elections. You can vote as a backer which stretch goals you want to unlock, what seems the most valuable to you, which seems the coolest. So that's kind of the system that I'm going with now. And I think, you know, hopefully ties into the theme of the game enough where people find it fun.
Oh, yeah. I like that idea because it is thematically correct for what you're putting out there.
Yeah, that's the hope. So we'll see if people respond.
And there's no, like, jerry rigging that goes into that, right? It's just a straight, like, how many points wins?
Yeah. Hopefully we don't need any recounts and I don't have any influence over the final voting, but yeah, whatever the backers want,
yeah,
we'll give them.
Hanging chads. That's we don't want that. Alex, can you see any other possible problems besides the hanging chads and the,
you know, not getting elected is a problem?
That is true.
How can you, like, instantly lose? How do I lose aside from someone else
winning? I love that question. Yeah. How do you instantly lose the game?
As fun as that sounds, I don't think we have an instant kill. There's no instant loss in the game.
You're in luck, Alex.
Good. So murdering my opponent doesn't make me instantly lose. I'm happy.
Don't think you didn't put any mechanics in to, like, put a hit out on your opponent, did you?
That sounds like an interesting expansion. We can get into the assassins.
You know, I think that that's like a different political system. I think that that's got to be like maybe if you made like a follow up to this, like dictatorship or something, maybe that would work.
Ooh.
Like, actually, that would be kind of interesting. You could have, like, one player that's the dictator, and you could have a whole bunch of other players that were just trying to overthrow them, and,
Nathan, you could just do the primary Russia addiction, edition.
Well, I was kind of thinking about that, but I didn't want to say anything. Anyway.
Do you think Vladimir Putin listens to our podcast?
Maybe not him, but it wouldn't surprise me if there are a few hackers over there that are just keeping some tabs.
You know what? Anything that gets us more people listening to the show is okay with me.
Okay.
All listeners are good listeners.
They're giving us traffic. I don't care. They're going to the site to hack it. Go for it.
We welcome our Russian hacker overlords. Thank you for joining the show.
Oh, is there something in the game about hacking?
So there are some news cards. The themes and the titles aren't all finalized. So definitely open to input, and we can make some hacking ones for sure.
Ooh, something like to do with some reference to pop culture, but not actually a real thing. Skynet, can you use Skynet? Is that legally something you can use without paying for it?
I doubt it. You could do the ripoff of Skynet, maybe like a Sky for Less. You know, like how every time they come up with like a system, some generic brand comes along to kind of like rip it off. Maybe Skynet was so popular that there was like another company that said we could duplicate that, but we can't use the same name or something too close. So maybe like Air Rope instead of Skynet.
I like it. The cheap ripoff version.
It's the shareware version.
Yes, exactly.
You can just use something defunct like Napster.
I think that guy might still be around.
I'm sure, but I'm pretty sure the website's gone.
You could just say Knapsack. It's a great company. We can we could just spitball names for companies, but I think that that's kind of that's a road to nowhere, my friend.
That really is.
It certainly is. And I was just sitting here talking about the lovely idea of having a dictator game.
That I do like.
Yeah.
I might steal it from you. I may shamelessly steal that for the next game.
Who cares? I'm good.
I mean, we don't mind credit once in a while. Just be like, hey, this is their idea.
Just go back.
Thanks, guys.
Just
that's
go back
all.
To the episode.
Just a thank you in the credits somewhere.
Yeah, I'm not making the game. Let's face it.
but this is a great idea inspired by Delve. Go listen to Delve.
If you want some other games you didn't know you wanted in your life, well, they might have something over on the station. So Kickstarter is coming up on March 15th.
Yeah, coming down to the wire the last couple of weeks, and my to-do list is very long. So nervous, excited, a lot of work ahead. I'm going to be staying up some late nights for sure.
It's almost like you are actively at campaign headquarters, and you're trying to monitor how the election is going, but the election is actually your Kickstarter.
Yeah, the election's coming up, and there are no polls to tell me how I'm doing.
You can look at how funded it is, and that's kind of your poll.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll get a gauge on the 15th. Hopefully we have a good first day. Until then, riding blind and just hoping.
And does that go for a full month?
Yeah, I think it'll be from the 15th to the 17th, so maybe just a touch over a month.
That feels actually a lot shorter than a political campaign feels, so I think I'm good with that.
Yeah, I wonder if Kickstarter would let me run for a year or two.
I mean,
I wonder
you
can
do
if they
like
have any...
a European political system where it's like a couple weeks, couple months.
Then, but how often do you go through the cycle? Is it like every year? Because I can't do that.
Yeah, there's already way too much coverage. I feel like 2020 they're already talking about. And
I can't handle it. The election cycle, too long, damn it. Just
it's never ending.
It's just wait till like the month before the election, folks. Can we put like just like a stop on all politics before that happens? I think there should be a petition. Let's make that the democratic process. We have a petition. Everybody signs it to say, no, you cannot start the election until the actual year of the election. That's the rule now.
I can get behind that. Where can I sign up?
There's got to be a petition. They'll put it somewhere.
Is there going to be a follow-up game for after the primary? You get the general election?
I don't have anything specific planned. During the design process, you know, there's a bunch of ideas that I kind of stripped away or tested out and didn't feel like they quite fit with what I was trying to go for with the base game. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that I'll do an expansion, but, you know, the thought has crossed my mind, you know, if people like it and there's a demand for anything more with it, there could be. I've also, you know, worked on a few other designs kind of in parallel with the primary. I've tried not to get too distracted. I feel like I wanted to just focus in on this one and really do it well. So there's a few ideas that I've kind of got simmering in the back of my mind, but we'll kind of see what happens after this is all done.
That's fair.
Absolutely.
Assuming it goes well, you can do a a general election game, and then you would just have different parties.
You could have Team Plaid Stark, and then have Team Cap Aquamarine. That sounds...
Sure. Sure, Nathan. Aquamarine is now a team color.
It is if you're in Florida, because the Marlins, right? Or the Dolphins? Dolphins have aquamarine behind it, right?
Yeah,
sure.
I don't follow much for sports, but I do remember that there was like some kind of a light bluish green color in that team logo. So I'm going with it. My thought was you could actually expand that out if you're doing the primary and then the general. Just make it an actual like role playing campaign where your characters have to go through everything, every step of the process. So the person who wins the primary then has to deal with the political fallout in like the general. And then if they can succeed and win the presidency, then they have all the backlash from all the characters that they were dealing with in the primary.
I like that.
Yeah, and you can level up your political
yeah,
status.
Yeah, that could be a cool series, and you just bring your candidate from one game to the next.
Yeah, and you keep having to win bigger and bigger things, and then the final step, president of space.
that's a thing that SciShow does, Nathan. You can't do that. They already have a president of space on the SciShow.
I just want a president of space so that we can do the Tim Curry voice from that Command and Conquer game.
Oh, gee.
Space. That was terrific.
Was it Tiberian Sun?
Oh, maybe it was Tiberian Sun. Sorry.
That's still Command and Conquer, but I mean, he wasn't in Red Alert, so I'm just wondering. Sorry.
Yeah, you can see how many Command and Conquer games I've played. I think one. Think about one. But anyway, maybe not space president, if that's already taken. What about space constable?
Sure. You can be the space sheriff.
Space sheriff. Some people call him a space cowboy.
He's the gangster of love.
His name's Maurice.
I think we're getting off track, Nathan.
No. This is completely in line with the show's theme. And, you know, this is the kind of thing that they usually talk about during debates, right?
To be fair, you know who would actually be the president of space? Probably Elon Musk.
He already has his car up there.
Got a good head start.
He does. He really does. He's thought this through. Spice. I just wanted to do it one more time. Thank you so much for telling us all about the Kickstarter. And, you know, I'm looking forward to that long-term campaign that eventually leads to us ruling space.
Yeah, I think that's a stroke of genius. And thanks for having me. It's been great.
Alex, how many votes did you get in the last Twitter poll?
Twitter poll?
Yeah.
What was the poll on?
I don't know. We haven't made it yet.
Was it a post or a poll? I mean, was there a picture of a beam post and then a metal pole?
Oh, we got to do that now. We got to do that on the official Delve podcast Twitter account. Which would you prefer, a post or a poll? And make it a poll.
I don't know if you can add pictures of those.
Only one way to find out, my friend. We got to try that out. No, I was actually thinking that we could just have a poll and just have Alex, Nathan, or other and see if we lose to other.
We probably will.
Yeah. Maybe we'll put that out leading up to this episode. Until then, though, Alex, if folks would like to learn more about the delegates from Delve, where could they go?
You can find more about the candidates of Delve over at delvecast.com.
And all of the stuff that we do is over there. So, Matt, if anyone was interested in finding out more information about the primary, where could they go?
Yeah, you can find the website at mountaintop.games. And we're on social media, Mountaintop Games, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, anything like that.
Excellent. Mountaintop Games. On any platform that you look, it's basically there.
And if not, let us know and I'll make one.
There you go. It's just that easy, folks. Because, you know, just like in the actual election, Matt is very responsive to his voter base.
We know it.
Yeah, absolutely. You can also find us on iTunes and Google Play and everywhere handcrafted podcasts are sold. Please rate and review and subscribe when you go. And do not forget to find us on Twitter. I am at Citanium.
I am at EXP Limited, and the show is at Delve Podcast.
And so, with that, I would like to thank our political pundit. That's your new title, political pundit for Delve, Matt Kwok.
Thank you.
And we are looking forward to seeing the primary come to Kickstarter. Should be very soon as this episode releases. And good luck. Hopefully this will give you a lot of incentive to continue on with the suite of games that we have suggested to you today.
Yeah, I hope so.
And so for all of us here at Delve, I feel like we should have had a political slogan, Alex. Shouldn't we come up with like...
We want you to listen to our show.
We want you. Hey, listen!
No. No.
Yeah.
We're done.
Listen.
We're done now.
Listen. Hey, that's how we can end the show every single time, is with Navi just talking at the end to Link.
No, I'd quit.
Hey, stop listening to Alex. See how much fun that is? And we just lost the election for the we just lost the election. I'm not going to deal with 4 years of that. I can tell you that much. Thank you all for listening to the show, and until next time, which is not 4 more years away, it is next week. Thank you for listening, and good night.
Bye-bye.
I'll have the lice on the scalp, but in order to get rid of them, you have to sing them to sleep with Electric Sheep.
And you can do it while you're on Electric Avenue?
I feel like this just leads me down the boulevard of broken dreams, to be honest with you. But anyway, that was a fun little thing. We are never going to be able to run for political office. You realize that?
Why not?
Because they'll remember this episode where we were talking about Freddy Krueger, electric sheep, and a game about lice.
I mean, that's just a recap of the last 150 episodes.
That's true. I guess they could listen to any episode and find that out. And wonderful stories about clowns and otters and what happens when you combine the two.
And lots of mimes.
Lots of mimes and wonderful puns about krakens. Something about Insane Clown Posse. I can't remember. We've had so... at a certain point, Matt, you know, the episodes blur together enough that you can't really remember the stupid idea you came up for which game.